This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, big tech companies are cutting back on office space in cities like San Francisco and Seattle. We'll find out why and what that means for cities from WSJ reporter Conrad Puzier. And then, for almost a decade, Amazon has run a secret program to gather intelligence on competitors' operations. WSJ reporter Dana Mattioli tells us more about the project and what the tech giant gained from it. But first, big tech companies have spent years adding millions of square feet to their office footprints in cities. Even during the pandemic, big tech companies were leasing more space instead of cutting back. Now, though, many companies are scaling back, and it's leaving landlords at risk. WSJ reporter Conrad Puzier joins me now with more. Conrad, you write that big tech is decreasing the amount of office space it's using. Just how much less are we talking?
It's not that much less in the grand scheme of things, because tech companies occupy a huge amount of office space in cities like New York and San Francisco. But it is a really big deal for the office market still, because basically, if you have these companies not leasing anymore and then adding to sublease availability, it really has a big impact on the market.
What are some of the companies that are downsizing their office space?
Amazon is getting out of some office leases and letting some leases expire, which again is just a small part of what they occupy. They still have a lot of office space, but it's still a big deal for the office market. There's Salesforce, which a year ago occupied around 1.6 million square feet of office space in San Francisco. Now they're down to like 900,000 square feet. So basically more than 40% reduction in about a year. Google or Alphabet has put up some office space in Silicon Valley for sublease. And there's plenty of smaller companies that are basically deciding we don't need as much office space, or maybe we don't need any office space at all. Maybe we're fine just having everyone work from home from their living rooms, and they prefer that anyway, and we save some money, so why not?
So when did big tech start to cut back on its office space?
So according to real estate brokers, 2022 was really the year where it changed. So 2020, 2021, you still had a lot of big tech companies like Facebook and Apple and Amazon basically say, hey, we can get a lot of space here at a discount. The market isn't great because even then, you know, a lot of finance companies and law firms weren't signing space. So you could basically get nice big offices at a good price, or it seemed like a good price at the time. And some of these big tech companies were hiring a lot of people. They had booming business. So they felt like, all right, we're going to sign big leases at a good rate. And then eventually we're going to need the space because who knows when remote work's going to end and people will want to come back to the office. We want people to come back to the office. And then what they learned over time is two things. One is a lot of people actually never wanted to go back to the office, or at least not 5 days a week. The second thing they learned is that some of this growth that they anticipated didn't really materialize. There were some layoffs in the tech industry in 2022 where companies basically realized they'd just been hiring too many people. And those two things taken together really meant that some companies realized, hey, we have actually too much office space. And that's really what's driving this reduction in office space now that we're seeing.
Okay, so big tech is moving out. They're not renewing their leases. What are some of the other kinds of companies that are moving in?
There really aren't that many companies moving into this empty space. For what it's worth, there are still tech companies that are leasing, especially AI-related companies are raising a lot of money. They're hiring a lot of people and they're adding space because they're growing. But it's still not enough to really have an impact on the market because AI is still a pretty small industry overall.
What does that mean for commercial landlords and cities?
This is a really big deal for commercial landlords because even though the tech industry is only a small share of all office space overall, they were such a big driver of rents in recent years, and especially before the pandemic, because they were growing so fast. They were often leasing the nicest, most modern, most expensive office spaces. And in cities like New York and San Francisco, these tech companies were really the companies that were driving up rents. And when rents go up, building values go up and landlords make more money. So for a while, the commercial real estate market in some cities was really dependent on tech leasing. And now this dynamic has reversed itself. It's also a big deal for cities because, first of all, on the most basic level, cities depend on property taxes for their revenue. And if tech companies don't lease office space anymore, if building values go down, that means cities that really depend on the tech industry will have a hit to their property tax revenues. And then just tech companies leasing up less space also has an impact on businesses downtown, because there's all these shops and restaurants and bars and movie theaters that really survive and thrive because all these tech workers in nearby offices have lots of money to spend, and they spend it at their establishments.
That was our reporter, Conrad Puzier. Coming up, inside Amazon's covert effort to gather intel on competitors. That's after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
A company called Big River Services International sells products like shoes and beach chairs through sites including Walmart, Shopify, and eBay. What's not immediately obvious is that Big River is an arm of Amazon and that its employees are Amazon employees. It was born out of a secretive plan called Project Curiosity, developed by Amazon to gather information about its competitors' operations. WSJ reporter Dana Mazzioli is here now to tell us more about the project. Dana, what is Project Curiosity?
So Project Curiosity is this secret team that members of Amazon's benchmarking team pitched back in late 2015. And the upshot of it was they wanted to understand the seller experience on Amazon.com. So they came up with this plan to secretly get onto their rivals' marketplaces, places like Walmart and other retailers, under the guise of being third-party sellers. And from there, it really took off. They've got many of these websites under the guise of being part of a company called Big River Services, this shell company they set up. They've gotten into logistics networks that they compete with and payment services operators. Initially, it was about improving the seller experience in Amazon, but then it morphed into getting competitive intelligence about some of their biggest rivals.
Tell me more about Big River. What does the company do, and what is its relationship to Amazon?
So employees on the Project Curiosity team sort of had this double life. They internally would speak to other employees with an Amazon email address. They wouldn't mention the true nature of the work they were doing. But behind the scenes, they had completely different email systems that they used, a Big River International email server that they used to communicate with rivals and partners on other sites. They had this whole front where they were posing as these sellers on these other sites. And they would go to warehouses to ship goods for Big River International to different warehouses. Beyond that, some of these team members even went to eBay's seller conference in Las Vegas as Big River Services employees without identifying that Amazon was their employer to get information.
What was the advantage for Amazon in keeping this operation a secret?
The advantage was that they've been able to operate on many of their competitors' websites and infrastructure for years undercover without those companies knowing. Those companies only found out when we called them to say, hey, what's this Big River Services on your website? Once they gained access, the employees at Project Curiosity were told to take copious screenshots of what's going on behind the scenes, of the ad systems, of the pricing, of the cataloging, and to share that with leaders of Amazon's marketplace. But they never did it over email. They did not want to create a paper trail. They would show them in person so that that could be incorporated into Amazon's business model. So everything was very clandestine.
Amazon has kept track of its rivals for a long time. You mentioned benchmarking. How is this different than that?
Benchmarking is a very popular behavior at companies. Everyone looks at the competition to see how they're stacking up. A more typical way to do that is to look at publicly available documents, earnings reports, earnings calls, walk your competitors' stores, things that are just considered common business practices. What's different about Project Curiosity is that Amazon was getting access to websites and to seller information that it wasn't necessarily entitled to.
So what has Amazon said about Project Curiosity?
Amazon has said that benchmarking is a common practice and that they believe that rivals carry out research on Amazon by selling on Amazon's site.
So did Amazon change any of its own business practices based on what it found in Project Curiosity?
It did. There's one example in the story where Amazon gets wind of that FedEx, one of their main logistics competitors, is opening up a new service to target online sellers that would go head-to-head with Amazon's Fulfillment by Amazon program, which is their big logistics program. Big River Services, they become a very early client of FedEx fulfillment, and they get rate cards and pricing and other data. And in emails that I was able to review, they share that with Amazon's executives internally. All of this proprietary early information about what the FedEx program would be like. And they even have code names within the code name. They call FedEx On Time Inc. in these emails. And what I was told was that Amazon made changes to FBA, the Fulfillment by Amazon program, to stay more competitive with this new FedEx fulfillment program coming out.
That was our reporter, Dana Mattioli. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.